One of the growing industry of our day, and probably is outstripping a whole lot, is in the area of communication. I'm sure that 90% of us here this morning have got a cell phone. It's right, Alfie, you can play, you can keep on the cell phone. But it goes to show you how connected we are in our world today, whether we like it or not. Communication is at the heart of our existence, and we need, and sometimes some people crave it. And the social communication era is just going through the roof. We all know what Facebook has been going through lately. Such is the volume of information collected through social media that if it gets into the wrong hands, it can cause a lot of damage. But there's not only Facebook, there is also things like texting, Twitter. Anyway, you know what I mean. Skyping, MySpace, Tag, Bebo. What else is there? There must be something else out there. Sorry?
Instagram.
And Snapchat. And yeah. Oh, that too. Okay. So that's the reality we live in. And if the power went off today, if our batteries went flat on our cell phone, we would feel like our, to put it lightly, we would be so disconnected. Now, I know that some of you think, I haven't got a cell phone, this doesn't interest me. Well, you're the odd people out, okay? But nice, you're nice people, but you're the odd people out. We are surrounded by communication. But the interesting thing to note about this communication is that most of it, or a good proportion, is non-verbal. Non-verbal. And it begs to think, what will this generation and the next generation be or communicate? What will it look like in the future? A generation to come, what will it look like? Now, not really having all the answers to that, one thing I know that relationship experts will say at the heart of any relationship is communication. In fact, if the communication stops, dies, dwindles, the relationship itself will sadly stop, die, or dwindle. Now, sadly, in the role that I play in life, I get to walk with a lot of people through some very difficult spaces. And whether it be a relationship, whether it be a marriage, whatever connection, I have joined with people on this journey where it is really hard to carry on in that relationship. And I'd have to say that the hardest place, or the coming to that place, is that communication died years ago. And you don't want to generalize too many things, and the things that I would say here is a generalization, but men, listen out men, you are this deep well of feelings that stay deep, that don't want to be expressed. And woman, you're a shallow pool overflowing with words and feelings and, you know, it's all out there. And men just sit there and think, goodness, when is this going to stop? This is just a generalization, okay? I know that you're not like that. But often at the heart of a really tough relationship, communication has stopped. Or the bare minimum carries on. One thing you would think that is natural to do is to speak. It should be natural. And we do speak, but often the wrong words. And as we prayed that intercessory prayer, sometimes the wrong words. So communication is at the heart of all who we are. And so I want to draw our attention to a passage of Scripture. And it's in John chapter 17, if you have your Bibles there. And this is Jesus' longest prayer recorded. And I'm going to read just a part of it. It's John chapter 17, verse 6 to 19. If you're willing and if you're able, could you stand as we read the word together? This is Jesus praying for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. He's Jesus talking about his Father in heaven. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For this is Jesus talking to his Father, just trying to put the context right. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am not of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. May God bless his word to us this day. Thank you. Please be seated. So, communication is very important. And in this passage is Jesus communicating with his Father. And there's three relationships that he is talking about to his Father. And Jesus is communicating through prayer, but we can talk to God as we talk to each other. So life's a communication of prayer, because our heart's desire is that we all grow in knowledge of love and peace and goodwill. So when we look at Jesus' life, Jesus has always lived in a relationship with his Father and with the Holy Spirit, have always been in existence, and that's very hard for us to handle as finite beings, born one moment, gone the next. God has always been in this relationship. Just because when Jesus came down to earth to spend this time with his followers and making disciples, does that mean that Jesus stopped with his communication? No. In fact, his communication increased even more, especially as Calvary, the cross, drew nearer and nearer. I am sure that Jesus spent early hours in the morning and the evenings just before his Father praying and talking to him. He would have increased his communication. In this passage of Scripture, we see Jesus praying out loud to his Father in heaven. This must be an important prayer. It is a very important prayer because it is, as I said earlier, the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. So why is this prayer important for us? Well, it's important because, yes, Jesus highlights three or key relationships where we need to be in constant communication and prayer. The first relationship is the relationship between God and his disciples, his followers, us. How did the disciples actually come to know God is a good question. Well, quite clearly, Jesus states that God always knew who was with him, all his followers. And now that's an interesting discussion, a theological discussion, which Rob, I'm sure, would be love. You'd like to talk about predestination and all those good things? Just come and see Rob after the service. He will help you out there. But it's interesting that you sit here today and you have made a decision about acknowledging who God is, if he's real in your life, And God has always known that you would make that decision. It's a bit unusual, but it's just hard to come to terms with. So he knows, we've always been in relationship with him, far as he's concerned, even though it was just recently maybe you gave your life to the Lord. But he knows you. And the important thing is, he gave them to his son, Jesus, so that Jesus could teach them what it means to be a disciple, how to live your life in this world. And the disciples, they said that they followed Jesus. Why? Because he had the words of truth, which Jesus says comes from the Father. That's how close Jesus and Father are. They are one. And so they followed Jesus because they believed he had the words of God. So there's an important relationship, and there's important things about this relationship. First, they obeyed Jesus' teaching because of that relationship. The next thing about this relationship is that Jesus talks about this thing called sanctifying them. What does that mean? Another word for sanctifying is just sanctification. And in Scripture, it says this, that believers have been set apart. And you can read about this in 2 Thessalonians. That they have been set apart by God for the Lord Jesus to use as he desires. We are to be God's holy instruments within this world. One of the major roles of the Holy Spirit is to encourage this sanctification process to take place within the life of the believer. There's an important relationship between us and God. It's communication, but it's also learning, what does it mean for me to walk with God? What am I supposed to do or say? What does my life look like? And Jesus says it's a process, a journey of sanctification, being set apart to learn more about God and life. God wants us to be holy. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, he says, make every effort to live in peace with all people and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, easy words, but very hard to understand and to actually live out on an hour-by-hour basis. God sanctified his son, Jesus Christ. He set him apart to carry out the greatest mission, the greatest rescue plan this world has ever known. And that is to find salvation, to be broken the chains of all that hold us in life. Salvation will break those chains. And God says that we will come into a new life, not only here, but one day for eternity. So Jesus has shown his followers, how do we live in this journey of sanctification, this process of holiness? Well, first of all, he says, walk in obedience. There's a lot in this Bible, and I confess I don't know and can explain everything in this Bible. But there are things that challenge me day by day, and that is God speaking to me about this. Is my life in tune with God? This Bible, your Bible, will help you to see whether you are in tune with God, the journey of holiness. So there is that place of obedience. And then when we fail, the next step is to confess that failure before God. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and he'll forgive us. 1 John 1:9. And he will purify us. So that's the next step of holiness that we need to stay in. And the next one is to resist Satan and his temptation, his tempting ways. And James 4 talks about flee from temptation. That's another path of holiness that we need to hold in tension of what it means to be Christ-like in this world. And lastly, to be faithful in the word and in prayer and in communion with one another. We as believers know that we have to live in this life of holiness, but it's not an easy journey. And this is where I really struggle when some Christians tell me that they are better off watching Charles Stanley or David Jeremiah. Sorry, I don't watch him much. I apologize for you David Jeremiah fans out there. But I find it better if I just sit in front of the TV, and that does me just wonderfully. But the reality is God created us to be in community. He created us to be the part of the body of Christ. And the journey of holiness is not walking away from the body that you are connected to. Because when you walk away, you actually, I think, walk away from the journey of holiness, because who else is going to challenge you about your journey? Who else is going to speak into your life about where you are? Who can you go to for encouragement? The TV can only just do so much. And texting can only do so much. It's actually when we are in communion and fellowship with one another that God actually rubs the rough edges off us so that we can grow in this holiness. So we are here to show this world that God exists through this journey of holiness. The other relationship is the one this way, what I was talking about before. We need one another. And this is why Jesus prayed four times in this one passage that they would be one, that they would be unified. Jesus mentions this four times, that we are to be one. We are to know this unity. Why is that so important? Well, we know the obvious things. When churches do not agree, some of them blow up and people go and start another church. And sometimes I think, maybe did God ordain that? I don't know. That's too big a question for me to answer. But every time we have a disagreement amongst one another, we allow division to come into the body of Christ. We allow that journey of holiness to fragment. Now, I know that not everyone is lovable. Not everyone is like me. Yes, Jan will refute that, I'm sure. But we do love each other. It's easy to love the lovable. It is very hard to love the unlovable. And welcome to the body of Christ. Not everyone in here will get on with each other. But should that mean that we walk away from one another? Should that mean that we stop our journey of holiness because I just disagree with you? Jesus prayed four times. And I think if God's going to answer any prayer, it must be His. But the church has been in operation for over 2,000 years now. And if you go back into when in Acts and look at Paul and Peter the apostles, it wasn't rosy back then either. Paul was trying to fix squabbles and arguments, who was the better and who was the worst. It was human nature. That's our thorn in the flesh, our brokenness. But Jesus prays for unity. So the next time you find yourself in a hard place with someone, think of what Jesus prayed for you. And He did. He didn't just pray it for the disciples back then. He prayed for you today and tomorrow. How am I going to deal with this relationship? We might not love each other. We might not agree with each other because we have different passions. But one thing Jesus calls us to be is one. And only God placing us together will work that out. So, our greatest strength in this world is showing God through our togetherness. Our greatest weakness in this world is when we allow Satan to divide and conquer. So I encourage people, if they cannot find a church, if this is not the right church for you, if you feel like you cannot plant roots down here and be part of this church and release the gifts that God has given you to be a part of this fellowship, to impact and grow this body of Christ, to impact our world, then I would encourage you, go and find another church. But the last thing I would encourage you to is do not hop from church to church to church. Because at the end of the day, who misses out? Well, believe it or not, the church that you've just left behind. Even though we're wired differently, God has given us gifts for all of us to mature and grow this body of Christ together. And we're not perfect. If you find a perfect church, just remember, what? You've just mucked it up. That's the politest word I can just say. Because you are not perfect. But if this is not your church, go and find one. But do not hop from church to church. Get in and learn to rub edges off people in a Christ-like way. To love and to forgive. That's the next important relationship Jesus prays for. And I want to encourage you, pray for that. Pray for the unity of the brethren. The next relationship is ours and the world. Now, you know, it's quite confusing. Jesus says, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Come on, make up your mind, Lord. Are we in the world or not? Jesus says, I'm not of the world, as you are not of the world. So what he was trying to tell us is this, that the day that you accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, something incredibly changed in your life. I can remember the day that I accepted Jesus into my life. I just hit the deck on my knees and I just cried. I was an angry person, and then God's love just transformed my life. Each of you got your own stories of your own encounter with your Lord. You hold on to those. But, or to carry on from that, is that that moment God says, you are born again. And the scriptures here in John 1:3 says this, yet to all who received him, that is Christ, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, or a wife's will, but born of God. But I came out of my mother's womb. I was born in this world. But spiritually, God said, the day you accepted my son as Lord and Savior, you were born again. And the scripture goes on to tell us that we have become strangers and aliens in this world. We are in the world, but not of the world. God calls us to be in the world, to be his light and salt, to show the world through our love and unity and our commitment to God that he exists. There is a saying that the best testimony for the existence of God is us. The worst testimony of the existence of God is us. But God's not into perfect people. Otherwise, he would never have come. He's come to a broken world through his son, Jesus. And this morning, God calls us to be in the world, to live a life where we can be at peace with our neighbours, our friends, our church brothers and sisters, as much as we can. And through us, this world will see God. You think, I cannot accept that responsibility. If you know my life, Bill, you wouldn't want me to accept that responsibility. I have one foot in this camp of God, and then I have one foot squarely in the world, and I just feel like I'm being cracked right up the middle. Well, God loves you. He loves you very much. And he came for you and me. And he wants you to be in the world, but not of the world. So that one day, someone might ask you, why are you so different? Not because I'm a nerd or anything. Not because I'm the most beautiful person or the tallest person or whatever. Because something's shining in your life. In the mess of your life, something is real. And people, church, the world needs to see something of that realness of your relationship with God. And they can see it through your brokenness, but they can see the reality of it. So in conclusion, three major relationships. At the heart of all those relationships is the ability to communicate. Pray to God that he will strengthen your relationship this way. Pray for your brothers and sisters, even if you disagree with them. Pray that you will be a light in this world. Broken, fragile, dimming a lot of times, but a light in this world. Because God will help you if you have your heart open to it. And finally, also pray that Satan will not trip you up. Because anyone who steps up to serve God, Satan will put his foot out and kick the bottle and trip you up. He wants to divide and conquer. God wants unity. Communication is important. Text a message to God daily if that's the only way you can pray. Use your text. Write a letter to God every day if that's the only way you can pray. Talk to God. Just in normal language. Talk to your partner, your friend of life, your brother, your sister. Let communication draw us together, not split us apart. And just one other thing is sometimes when we go to God, we have a shopping list about this long, and we spend 2 minutes going, thank you, Lord, thank you for hearing me, hop in the car and away we go. You know, in a relationship, you have some of those people that you know just go, and you're just waiting to try and get in there, and as soon as they take a breath, but have you thought about this? How well do those friendships go? They struggle because communication is about both ways. So I want to leave you with this thought with regarding communication this way, because we've got to get that right. And it comes from a lady who I believed had a beautiful relationship with God. Her name was Mother Teresa. And this is what she has to say about prayer. In the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you face God in prayer and in silence, God will speak to you. Then you will know that you are nothing. It is only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill that himself. Souls of prayer are souls of great silence. We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass grows in silence. See the stars, the moon, and the suns, how they move in silence. We need to have silence to be able to touch souls. And one person asked this of Mother Teresa. He said, he asked her, how do you pray to God? And she said, I sit there in silence and listen to him. And then he said, what does he say? And she said in return, he sits there in silence and listens to me. Amen.